WISR now presents It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey. Dave is off today, so we have a special guest host. It's Your Turn is Butler County's only live call-in talk show. You can join in the conversation by calling 724-283-2525. And now, let's join It's Your Turn and today's special guest host.
Pat, did you say 41 degrees? Is that what you just said? And I came in this morning, whatever time it was, you know, before the sun rose, I can guarantee you that. It was like 51, I think it was, 51, 52, something like that. I think it was only a span of 2 hours and went down to 42, and now we're at 41. So it was like one of those moments where you're like, no, don't go any further. Don't go any further. But yeah, like Pat said, 37 by the time we hit 5-ish, you know, in the afternoon. It just keeps going. So that's what's going to happen. Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey. Good afternoon. My last day with you, and then I'm just going to keep to my morning stuff when Dave comes back. But thank you very much for joining us again for this half hour. Got a big hour, of course. Today is our day with City Hall. Can I name it? Is that what we call it, Mayor Smith? Because I'm just renaming everything while Dave's away.
I think that's correct.
I'll have to give him notes on what I changed on his show.
I'm sure he won't mind.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. So we're going to do that with Mayor Ben Smith here for a half hour. And then at 1 o'clock, we have the Rotary Club. We're going to be talking about the Turkey Roundup. And that's going to be at 1 to 1:30. So, good show. Big show. Hi, Mayor. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, surprise.
Yeah.
Dave's not here today.
Yeah.
I don't know if word got to you or not, but yeah.
Yeah, so I found out last night. Ryan was at the city council meeting, and he told me, I said, Ryan, you need to be on the show with me. He goes, why? I said, well, we've already got this report.
That's a good idea. Can I go back and get him?
He goes, nobody wants to hear me. I said, I want to hear you.
Yeah, right. You
that's
guys should
right.
talk for 2 hours.
Yeah, that's right.
But he gave me his notes, so I have
good.
Ryan's notes.
Good.
So, all right. So let me first ask you about one of the things we were talking about today in the news is that some additional time you guys were taking for the budget, for the 2020 budget.
Right.
So just give us a short explanation of what's happening, because we're assuming this will be done by Monday.
Yeah, we're planning on having we continued the meeting last night until Monday to have a budget meeting where we can more fully flesh out things. But part of the catalyst for that, we get our assessment information from the county, and mm-hmm. they tell us, you know, what tax dollars to expect and everything from the different properties in the city. And one of the wards that we had that they had identified had a significant drop, and I don't have the exact dollar amount.
Right,
it was,
right.
It was about a third of one of the districts.
Something that caught your eye.
Yeah, for
enough,
sure.
Yeah.
It's something that would change.
Yeah.
And so we were comparing it with our records, and they just, you know, this information comes to them. They get it to us as fast as possible. So it wasn't that it was, you know, they were delaying or anything. It was just that by, I think it was Tuesday, we got that information. Monday or Tuesday, we got that information. Said, hey, we need to check in on this. This doesn't match our records. We expected a slight decrease in that area, but not like this. And so we just wanted to be able to give that an extra couple days so that we could figure it out, because it was enough money that it does significantly impact the budget, but not so much that it would, you know, bankrupt the city either.
Right.
We just wanted to have a couple more days to get that in line. Maybe it was a mistake on their end. Maybe it was a mistake on our end. Obviously, we're hoping for the former rather than the latter. Because
it's good to double check.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So let's just say for a scenario, what if those numbers are correct? How does it change the scenario of the budget?
It just changes a couple of things that we wanted to do. It does knock out a couple park programs, some of the things we've been doing for kids over the last couple of years, the pool program and things like that. That's, of course, not the first thing you want to cut, but
those are
the things that were instantly identified. So even if that does happen, we're not. I mean, my plan is not to cut those programs, to find another place.
And I wanted to specify, they're just checking on things. It's not like, you know, we have any breaking news like this is happening.
Right.
It's just getting an idea of what, you know, what are you looking at? Because then my question is, when you're looking over a budget, and maybe this is a Jeff Smith, you know, directed question with all the money, but when you go through things and you find, like, programs, like you said, we'd have to cut this or we'd have to lower it, can you take a little bit out of each line item, if you will, or do you have to go for a specific program to take all of that out?
You can take things out of different line items for sure, but there are some things like, you know, our workers' compensation insurance. That's always going to cost the same amount of money. You can't just halfway do it.
Right.
You know, there still has to, we have to pay that amount regardless of what our budget is.
Right.
If we want to have employees. There are other things that you could do that with. You could take a little bit out of here or there. But that was just one example of something that was proposed,
you know,
different programs and stuff. So, of course, you know, we'd want to spread it out, but those are things that we really want to preserve. So that's why we didn't want to go ahead and vote on the budget, because you, between the first and second reading, for those who don't know, anytime we pass a budget, we have a first reading, then we wait a little bit. I think it's 30 days we have to wait, and then have a second reading, and that's time for public comment and everything, so that people can comment on the ordinance. And that's any ordinance that we pass. And we want to be able to give them that time, of course. But you can change some things from the first reading to the second reading, but you have to stay within a percentage. And so we didn't want to go ahead and pass that and then say, oh, we were right. We're actually getting the higher assessment value that we thought, and then not be able to change those things without restarting the whole process, pushing it in the next year. So we just pushed it till Monday so that we could get a little extra time to evaluate that. And then part of that was that when that change came through, that adjusted enough things in the budget that they had to recalculate and resend it out. And for me personally, I didn't get that till Wednesday night. Now, that's not anyone's fault that that happened.
It's just the timeline that came to you. Mm-hmm.
So from Wednesday night to, you know, less than 20 hours later, probably 16 hours later,
right.
I had zero time to review it. So I even said for me to be able to consciously vote on it, I need to be able to review it. And I think that was the case with other council members
right.
as well.
So you're not putting your feet up on Saturday. You have some work to do.
I would love to find time to
I think
put
any
my
of
feet
you
up,
would like yeah. to put your feet up on a Saturday,
yeah.
but it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So, okay, so that should be, we're expecting it to be at least some information given to you by Monday mm-hmm. that you could go forward or your next step in what you have to do.
You got it. And yeah. I'm not expecting anything drastic or bombastic or anything, but
yeah.
We just want to make sure we cover all the bases.
And just for an educational question, when you talk about that first reading and the second reading on anything, mm-hmm. again, not necessarily just this, but when you're doing that, then do you have to change the language that's used in the second reading, or do you have to then say, here is the public comment, or this is what we've discussed? I mean, again, explain those two readings.
Yeah, so the first reading is just introducing it. That's the point where we introduce it, where the public can come into the office or they can request it online or whatever and see what the ordinance is that we're voting on. And then during that time in between the readings, they have time to comment, we can take their considerations, etc. And then, or maybe, you know, you get new information that you didn't have before the first reading when it was introduced that changes council's mind and says, wow, this was a way better idea than we thought or a way worse mm-hmm. idea than we thought. And those things can move fluidly to some extent. But there is, with every ordinance, there are only certain parameters you can change before you have to reintroduce it as a first reading. So that's essentially what the difference is between the first and second reading. The second reading is when it's actually, you know, actually goes into effect. Now, generally, we like to think our homework's pretty well done before we
right.
introduce it.
Right.
So you kind of assume that you're going to have the same response at the second reading as you do at the first. But that's not always the case, and there's certainly that room for movement if needed.
So if Monday everything goes forward, again, we're talking with Mayor Ben Smith. How about that? Say that five times
fast. Like
Mayor Ben Smith from City Council, of course, and talking about how they're just taking some extra time to make sure that all the receipts are in,
right.
it will, and
you got
make
it.
Sure that they do that before they go forward with the budget. So if Monday everything is kind of set in stone and you get that information, that's only the 25th, so that 30-day time period would still mm-hmm. make it into 2019.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. can you take a vote after the end of the 30 days? That's how long you have to wait?
Yeah. Well, okay. You know, I hate to say this, but I think it's 30 days. It's sometime over 2 weeks. I know
right.
that.
Well, that's why you have a team, because somebody on your team knows
right.
exactly the days.
And I knew last night at one point, and I
right.
didn't know it last night at
right.
some point. But it is there is a large, you know, about a 30-day window there. And there's we don't want to, but we could push it into the first meeting of next year, which
right.
is, I think, January 6th or something like that. But, of course, that's not the preference. You want to start the year right away with everything.
With something else.
Set.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to something else. Something else we were talking about with City Council is, and I chuckled because I'll admit this morning, and I didn't admit this when I was reading this. Whenever I was reading about the OBD leaf collection vehicle, this vehicle that you got $6,000 for, and we'll explain how the $6,000 came through. And Ryan wrote up a great story for us. And he was explaining in here how the highest bid initially was $1. And I read that initially and went, did I read that right? Yeah. A buck? And right. Then the next time I read it, I went, that says a dollar. And so now you actually did end up putting this online. And this is a location that municipalities will use
right
quite often. And you've used it before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So basically, yeah, what happened was we put out the piece of equipment for bid. We had gotten new equipment through a grant, actually, that John Evans in our code enforcement office wrote and received. It's a, you know, we're required by law, but also want to as a community for the taxpayers to collect leaves from properties. So this is a vehicle to be able to do that. Well, it's not technically a vehicle. It's a pull behind.
Right.
So we put out the old one for bid, which isn't unusable. It was just past the point of use for the use of a city.
Because it was like, what, 10 years old, something along those lines?
I think it's about 10 years old, yeah. And like, you know, for maybe a golf course or somebody has a large estate or something like that, perfectly usable. But for a city that's going around on every street and offering that, it was past the point of its life. So we put that up for bid just locally in the newspapers, et cetera. And by the point of our council meeting, we hadn't received, well, slightly before the council meeting, we hadn't received any bids, and an individual came in and said, I'll give you a dollar. So we rejected that bid because we knew it was worth more than that.
Sure.
And then put it on Municibid, which is the way I described it to you earlier, is basically eBay for municipalities.
Okay, and that's a good way to put it, yeah.
Yeah. Municipalities can put excess or older equipment that they're looking to get rid of, you know, maybe a police vehicle or something like that, and individuals and other municipalities can go on and bid on it. So it's just it's a vehicle for municipalities to be able to properly take bids for their equipment.
Yeah, and I'm glad you got it. I'm glad you got $6,000 for it. Because, I say this seriously, although I don't live in the city, but when you have those leaves and you want them picked up, you know, you have them out there, you did the work, so this way you'd be able to keep on track with that.
You got
or
it.
The city would be able to keep on track with that particular machinery. All right, so that's that. Pat, are we taking a break at some point? All right, thank you. So, yeah, you got to keep me in line. Pat's like my right-hand man when Dave's out. All right, why don't we take a break, and we'll be right back. And a couple minutes, and then Mayor Ben Smith is with me. I'm Tracy Morgan, in for Dave Malarkey. We'll be right back with It's Your Turn.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the food you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Are you looking to buy a house for the first time? At Armco Credit Union, they're known for competitive rates and low fees. But did you know their mortgage specialists will work with you every step of the way to make sure your best interests are served? Call the mortgage department at 724-284-2020 and ask them about their first-time home buyer program that allows a minimum down payment of only 3%. Don't have time to call or visit? Simply apply for a mortgage online, armcocu.com. Armco Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity and is federally insured by NCUA.
And welcome back to the program. Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey, and it's our City Hall with Mayor Ben Smith. They sent you by yourself today, Mayor.
Nobody wanted to come with me.
I know. Dan didn't come and Jeff didn't come. Yeah, so it was just you and me today.
Yep.
Well, thanks for being here today. All right, so let me ask you a couple more things, because I mean, we could do a whole meeting right here and now, right?
Sure. Yeah.
But the Christmas lights, I know that's going to be, I don't know, are they eventually going to go up? I know we were talking before about how they didn't go up because of the light pole project, if you will, and so they're not going to be up in time for the parade. And I'm sure most of us are going to recognize it when we get to the parade.
Sure,
you know, and then we'll realize, what did the city do? But tell us again about that process. Are they ever going to go up for the season?
Right. So, and just to clarify for those who maybe aren't sure, because there's a lot of talk about light poles.
Right.
We're talking about the big snowflakes that we have every Christmas season during the parade and through Christmas, through the holiday season in general. That are the big decorative snowflakes and everything that we put up, and so those will not be going up this year because of the streetlight project that's happening. And those lights normally go up this weekend would be when they would normally go up. They're up, or maybe next week, and they go up in time for the Christmas parade, and they stay up through the end of the year, and generally shortly into January. And so those this year are not going to be going up because of the new street lights going up. They'll be going up during that time in early December, early to mid-December.
The poles will be going up.
The new poles.
The new poles lights will be going up, okay.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. And they'll be going up, and you would have to put up the Christmas lights, take them down in a couple days, wait for all the poles to be changed over,
right,
and then put the Christmas lights back up for an actual Christmas, because it seems kind of silly to have Christmas lights up for the parade but not for Christmas and vice versa. One of the big difficulties in that is that there's no magical Christmas light fairy that comes around and puts those up.
Right.
We have a group of 5 or 8 hardworking volunteers that have been doing it for decades, that Armstrong generously donates their time and their trucks and everything for them to use. But then we have some volunteers from the city that put them up every year. So you would have to have them put them up, volunteer their time at 3 a.m., and then take them down a week later, put them back up a week later, take them down a couple weeks later. And so it was just determined that it was the best situation to not do that this
but
year.
Eventually, for the season, we are expecting to have Christmas decorations. Is that right, do you think?
For this season?
Yeah, for this.
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, so they're
no.
not even going to be up at all before the season goes
That's
through.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a matter of logistics is really all it is. And this is not a matter of, some of the things I've heard. This is not a matter of money. Fortunately, because we have those volunteers and they're so passionate about it, they've been doing it for decades. Like I said, it's not something that the city has to pay for that we're short on money for. It's not a matter of we hate Christmas or we want it's a worker.
Right.
It's not that. This is simply logistics, and it's not a matter of planning either necessarily. It has to do with the contractors that we're using. When a contractor bids a job, and especially if you have a very limited number of bids, you kind of have to take the schedule they give you. And if a contractor says, we can do it, this is the time we'll be done, you kind of have to go with that, because if you say, well, hold off for 6 weeks and changing those, it's going to push into next year. They're going to not be able to bid the other projects they need to bid for the beginning of the year. There's a lot of things that go into that. And so we weren't 100% sure that they've been ahead of schedule and actually saved the city a fair amount of money on the project overall. But we weren't 100% sure until just shortly ago that they were going to have those lights in from the manufacturer. We knew the contractor was going to do things correctly, but the manufacturer was the wild card there. And so once we found out that for sure, we went ahead and put together a press release and sent that out so that
sure.
people would be aware.
Now, is there an opportunity, you think, and I know you're not here to speak for Butler Downtown, I know you're not here, I'm just kind of throwing this idea out at you, but would this be a great opportunity for the businesses in Butler to put up maybe an extra decoration or two? Just kind of throw in that extra string of lights to just be able to help decorate downtown.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I mean, all the businesses, or many of the businesses, already do a great job of decorating their storefronts. Butler Downtown has like a storefront Christmas decoration contest that they do. Butler Downtown is also going to be decorating some of the potted plants that are kind of like, small trees, arborvitae, I think they're called, that are... they're going to be putting bows and ribbons on those, and the city is intending on putting up some sort of small decoration.
So as you're talking, it's not like we're going to go downtown and see absolutely nothing.
Right.
It's just the snowflakes aren't going to be
up. Just the big snowflakes.
So that's about what it comes down to.
Right.
All right. I'm glad you explained that, because I think when some people hear no decorations, they think, what, we're not going to have anything downtown?
Right.
And that's not the case.
It's purely logistics, and it's only going to be those lights, and we, the Christmas spirit is still alive in them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And then the parade. Yes, right. The parade is coming up. So that's going to be a lighted event anyway.
Of course.
So, yeah. So talk about what the city is doing. I know we're preparing, of course, you know, pulling off the 55th annual Spirit of Christmas Parade and Storybook Land,
mm-hmm.
Of course, on November 30th. That's an all-day event, Small Business Saturday.
Right.
Always wraps into that as well.
Right. Yeah, and that day, Small Business Saturday, and for the Christmas parade and everything, the meters and the street parking and everything, that's all going to be free for people to come down and enjoy downtown. And, you know, we usually do something around Christmas time as well, which we'll be looking into that and announcing that shortly. But really, I mean, what's the really nice part about the Christmas parade is that you guys take care of everything.
So it's on our shoulders.
That's right. I mean, I know you all put an enormous amount of work into that and everything, and we just get to come and enjoy it, and, you know, some of us walk in it if we want to. And so that's a great thing. But we're certainly looking forward to the whole season.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I know that, you know, I give credit to my boss and the thinkers that decided to change from what I grew up with in
sure.
Butler, you know, that time that was the day after, to having it at night. But it's been such a nice move, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know what has been the feedback over the past couple of years that you've had from people in the city, because we went from, again, only my opinion, but dwindling down
sure.
to not many people making it anymore to just, I mean, people are everywhere now when
it's
we
insane.
Go down that parade route.
Yeah, it really is. It's really nice. I mean, I don't know that I've personally had a lot of feedback because, you know, that change happened before I was in office.
True, but, yes.
Mm-hmm. But people do. I mean, people love the parade. They come downtown for the parade. You see people that maybe only make it in two or three times a year, and not because they don't want to come into town, but they're just a little further away. People come from other communities to come to our parade that, you know, that is such a great event. Spend time downtown. They end up going to local merchants and restaurants and everything, and spending time here. And anytime you can get someone in 2019 or later, you know,
from this point on,
anytime you can get someone to come to downtown Butler and realize, oh, this isn't what it was 10 or 15 years ago.
Right.
There aren't any empty storefronts. Maybe one or two that are just in transition.
Yeah, and that's always in transition.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, this isn't scary, a scary place.
Yeah.
Because I know there have been some rougher times in Butler's recent history. Butler's really turned around, and just people being here for that parade and for the other things around the holiday season changes a lot of people's perspective right away.
And I have to give kudos to the Butler County Tourism Bureau, the Butler County Tourism and Convention Bureau, for their entire title. I know I get to talk to them a lot on my show in the morning, and they talk to us a couple of times a month and just what they've done.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I know that they're holding they worked with you for the midget football game that's going to be happening. But for them to liven up our entire county like they have and bring people in from out of the area, and that's what made me think of them when you're saying that there's so many people who come in from out of the area,
right,
whether it's just for the parade or for family, and they still come. That's the point, is
absolutely.
They still come. And so I think that, you know, I mean, the city has been doing a great job, tourism has been doing a great job, and working together in that way. So
absolutely.
I'm excited for it. Another season on the way. All right, so I have you for a couple more minutes, Mayor. I want to ask you about the First Responder Light Up Night. Now, don't get that confused, folks, with the whole Christmas issue.
Right.
I mean, when you see that initially, you think, there's another light up night. But this is something what Kathy Klein, Representative Kathy Klein, a few years ago started.
That's right, yeah. When she was on council, she wanted to be able to, and this is something other communities have done in the past, and she wanted to be able to bring it to Butler. But it's something that we've just continued to announce and to do. Basically, I mean, I encourage people to usually have their porch lights on in the evening if they can, because it makes the neighborhoods more lit up. It makes it easier for first responders, people to find addresses or things like that. But basically, just a concerted effort to think about everybody once a month on a Saturday night, make sure your porch light's on to, number one, all those things I just said, but number two, to show support for first responders. It makes everything a little brighter, makes them be able to find their way around if they're on a call and they need to get somewhere fast. They can identify those addresses and doors. And like I said, it's just a show of support as well.
Is this a show every month, or is it every week? Or because I know the next one's Saturday, of course.
Yeah,
the 23rd.
It's once a month.
So it's once a month. Mm-hmm. You just try to highlight that.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's the Saturday after the second council meeting, basically,
is how
we've always done it.
Do you go with the color with this? Because I know some are blue, some are red. You know, you have
no.
teal pumpkins during Halloween. You know, there's no color associated
right.
with it.
Yeah,
so.
We thought that might be a little, well, I wasn't around, but I think she thought that might be a little much to ask.
Right,
basically, just
right.
illuminate illuminate things.
So, right, yeah. Absolutely. All right, one more thing I want to ask you, then I'll let you go. The Historical and Architectural District in downtown Butler, this has been kind of working for, what do you think, about a year or so?
A little over a year.
Yeah, a little over a year. And so we're in phase two of this. And again, we were talking about this on the newscast this morning, and I know Pat just read it about Councilman Jeff Smith saying that this is the second phase of this project. How many phases do we have to go? I mean, when will this kind of be complete?
I think this is the last overall
home
phase.
Stretch.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's still a formation of an authority or committee or however you want to clarify that, but that will happen at some point where people will be put on there to be the, I hate to use it like this, but governing board of that.
Right.
But that will come. But this is basically the second phase. The first phase was the rezoning, and this is actually taking some of those rezoning things and lessening them in certain areas where they don't necessarily make a whole lot of sense. R1 zone might be too restrictive for certain things. So this would essentially allow, somebody with a third floor apartment to be able to still rent that out and everything. Whereas R1 doesn't allow that, which is what's in place now.
But you're still trying to maintain that historical nature of that area, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's Jeff always says this, and I'll just repeat it. It's not trying to turn Butler into Colonial Williamsburg. It's just trying to preserve the things.
Although
we
I like
have.
Williamsburg.
Yeah, it's great.
But I understand what you mean.
Yeah. But if you want Williamsburg, go to Williamsburg.
Right.
But this is just trying to preserve the area we have already and those nice things. And I know we have a lot of support from different community members. We have support from the county officials and some of the planning commission there. There is a little bit of still uncertainty and turmoil. I don't want to pretend like everybody's perfectly happy, but there's some people within the city that are still unsure about things, but many of them have had time to comment and respond, and those comments and concerns have been incorporated into the historic district ordinance. So I'm really positive on it, and this is something that, before I even knew Jeff, was on my radar that I thought there, and actually I thought there's some areas on our south side that are nice historic areas with nice houses and nice older looking houses and the brick roads and everything. So
Good. So the conversation continues.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right, Mayor Ben Smith, thank you so much. Hope to see you soon.
Thanks for having me.
All right, thank you. Folks, we're going to take another break. We'll be back, and we're going to talk about the Turkey Roundup. Rotary Club is coming up next. I'm Tracy Morgan, in for Dave Malarkey.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location downtown Butler to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Miller's Shoes, South Main Street, downtown Butler, where families have been shopping for value and quality for over a century. In fact, for 127 years, believe it or not. Just think about that. Miller's Shoes, 127 years, downtown Butler. They're your headquarters for famous name brand shoes that you know are going to last. We're talking about Timberland shoes and boots, by the way. Great as we head into the cold weather season, Timberland. They also have Rockports. They've got Trotters. They've got Hush Puppies. They've got men's and women's slippers. Where do you find slippers? Miller's Shoes. And a complete selection of athletic shoes for everybody in the family, men, women, teens, kids. They've got all the famous name brands right there under one roof. Nike and New Balance and Saucony and Rockport and Keds and Skechers and Easy Spirit and Asics and ProPet. They got them all right there. Miller's also your local headquarters for SAS Comfort Shoes. Miller's Shoes, 127 years, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler.
The Jones Turkey Farm still has plenty of turkeys available for your Thanksgiving table. Jones Turkey Farm in Cabot has delicious, all-natural, free-roaming turkeys and chickens to make your Thanksgiving meal extra special this year. Their birds are handled with extreme care and are specifically fed non-GMO grain and are preservative and additive-free. Buy your turkey frozen today or get it fresh right before the big holiday meal. Call the Jones Turkey Farm at 724-352-2450 or visit JonesTurkeyFarm.com. Jones.com. The Jones Turkey Farm in Cabot, quite simply the best. And also frozen sweet corn available this year.
In today's fast-paced world, our lives get a whole lot easier when we trust experts. We trust people who know what they're doing. And when it comes to shipping, I trust Going Postal Butler. They're right off Newcastle Road on Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's easy, too. I just cruise on back, go say hello to the friendly folks inside, and they package my items for shipping. And that saves me a whole lot of time. I'm trying to wrap my item, trying to find the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels. With Going Postal Butler, I know they provide quality service. They've got great prices. Most importantly, they are trustworthy. So I know that my package will go where I need it to go. That's Going Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, your friendly neighborhood shipping store, Going Postal Butler.
Thank you, Pat. Pat always looks at me like, you're on. Hello. Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey. I just talk. That's all I do. That's my job. So I keep talking off the air as well as on the air, and the show goes on. So here we go. All right. So we have the Rotary Club in with us for the next half hour. And by the way, thank you very much for having me in all week. I know you usually hear me in the morning and then the noon news. Pat, thank you very much for taking care of the news all week for me at noon. And then Dave will be back on Monday. So then I'll stick to my morning stuff and Mr. Dave can get up early. And that's what we can do. All right, so the turkey roundup is here. Miss Millie, hello, hello. Nice to see you.
Hello, hello to you too.
Nye, and Joe Nye is with us as well.
Glad to be here.
Oh, let me turn on your microphone. I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad I'm here too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So thank you, Millie, for this information you just handed to me.
Okay.
This is what, 28 years?
Yes.
Wow. I know. Where did that time
1991.
Go?
1991.
Yeah. So who started this? Was it the Rotary or did it come to the Rotary?
It was actually Dale Pinkerton, who is my husband. He went to a meeting at Portersville Prospect Rotary Club, mm-hmm. and he heard the woman from the Portersville Food Bank talking. She had a few families she was helping, and one of the families, both the mother and dad, had good jobs, but they lost their jobs in the recession. They were working but not making enough money to feed their four children, and they came to her and asked her for baby food. This was on Wednesday. Just until Friday, and we'll pay you back. Their other kids were eating peanut butter and jelly. So she got them hooked up with the food bank and got them on their way, and they were so appreciative. She told this story at Rotary, and she said she needed $125 a month to take care of the families at Portersville Prospect. So Dale came home and said, Millie, write a check for $125. We'll help her out. And he went to bed, and at 4 o'clock that next morning, mm-hmm. he woke up thinking about Rotary Turkey Roundup. Went back to sleep. The next night, for three more nights, he woke up. The fourth night, he said, okay, God, I know you're trying to give this to me. I really don't need another project. But if you get the radio station and if you get the newspaper to help me, we're going to call it Rotary Turkey Roundup. So he had a meeting with the radio station and with the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Came out of that meeting, and who's he run into but somebody from Armstrong who he forgot all about. They said, go home, put a suit on, we'll put an ad.
Uh-huh.
And that's how it all started. And now it's
his wonderful suit. I love his suit. And I'm sorry to interrupt. I just have to share this with you. I can't remember where I was 2 or 3 months ago. And I came into our news director and I went, I saw a Dale Pinkerton suit. It wasn't Dale. Then I just saw, you know, you saw a jacket that I thought that would be so
that's
him.
That's got to be Dale.
You know, yeah. But it was in the store and but anyway, I'm sorry.
Neat.
Go ahead. Yeah.
That's neat. He's listening. Do you hear that, Dale?
I know, yeah. I can get you new clothes.
So that was 28 years ago and we've raised over $502,000.
That's wonderful, yeah.
And we have 10 Rotary Clubs in Butler who help us raise the money. And we send out a letter to all the businesses in Butler County. And Joe over here goes to the mailbox every day.
And I have people who stop me on the street and says, you know, see my name on the thing and says, here's $20, you know, put it towards Turkey Roundup. I have one person that she gave me $15 and she don't even own the TV or air conditioning in her apartment or anything, but she always makes sure that she gets $15 to Turkey Roundup every year. It's amazing.
And when you get down to the turkey at this time of year, it's very reasonably priced. So that money can really go far. Don't you find it goes far?
Well, St. Vincent de Paul this year, can I say?
They asked for
$6,000.
Okay.
And they said they can buy 600 families. They can buy a ham from the food bank for $10 a piece. It could feed 600 families. That's what they wanted. So they're already starting on theirs.
That's incredible. And that's when you said the 125 way back then, even today. I mean, that's not a lot of money.
No.
And that was the money that she needed to feed families. And how much money it costs to buy food.
It does. And we used to give vouchers.
Mm-hmm.
But about 3 years ago, we decided just to give the cash to the food banks. We actually give money to all of the churches who do the community meals.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We give to St. Vincent de Paul. We give to Meals on Wheels. We give the Portersville Prospect Food Bank specifically money.
Okay.
And
the Lighthouse.
Oh, the Lighthouse.
Lighthouse Foundation. Yeah.
Yes. And this year we gave 39 families of students at BC3 whose families don't have enough money to have a good Thanksgiving. So if we get a request and it fits in with our program, we do give to those programs too.
And I'm glad you mentioned BC3. We were talking about some news stories here in the past month or so about that thought that I think they get forgotten, not necessarily BC3, but students who go to college. And a lot of us have gone to college, and we know how much money you don't have. Mm-hmm. And then you're trying to go to college, so to work and go to college, that gets tough. And then you have a family on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's so was this the first year that you've done that, or have
this
you?
This is the first year we've been approached by them, and maybe it's the first year they've started doing it. I'm not sure about that, but we were asked, and it's a great cause. And anybody in Butler County who needs help, Rotary is always there to help.
Right.
So,
Joe, when you're talking about folks giving, whether you see them on the street or they send the money in, can you walk us through that process of what do you do then? You have an account and then you...
Yeah, I take it to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
I copy all the checks and write down, you know, who did it and make the deposit and then take it to the bank probably about every other day and, you know, deposit it and keep track of all who gave me the cash.
Okay.
Because, you know, I want it all right. So,
right.
I mean, somebody gives me $10 to them, somebody gives me $15, whatever it is, I'll write their name down on paper that everybody has a copy of where the money comes from.
Good. But now, go ahead.
We do have a foundation.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
So it is tax deductible if people want to, to do that. And we do have the address and...
But
we can put
everything
that out.
I want to make sure we do that. Go ahead, Joe.
Everything we collect goes right back to the community. Mm-hmm. There's no
administrative fees.
No administrative fees or anything. It all goes back to the community. So it's a completely separate account.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, Joe, now you're the co-chair.
Yes, I am.
We got Jim Ferguson, who's also a co-chair.
Right.
Rick McDivitt, also a co-chair. And then Dale Pinkerton. Co-chair. And so, Millie, are you running the whole thing?
Yeah.
Well, Dale,
she's a good leader.
Is she? I know she is. I know she is.
Dale and I have been married for 59 years. And obviously we were young, so everything he does, I'm kind of like his secretary. And everything I do, he's my mentor. So,
fabulous.
we're both involved in each other's. I'm now a Rotarian also, so I'm right in here with this, so... But this project has turned out to be such a great thing for Rotary and for the community. You know, Rotary's motto is service above self.
Right. Do you collect throughout the entire year?
No, we start We started about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
The beginning of November.
I always get a check from one lady probably about a month before from up around Carn City or someplace. Mm-hmm. They, before it's even announced, the check is there, you know.
And we're more for Christmas than Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So yeah. we okay. go through the end of the year.
Okay. So when you have the Rotary Turkey Roundup, is it helping folks at Thanksgiving and Christmas for that meal as well then?
Well, at St. Vincent de Paul,
yes.
apparently it is.
Okay.
We leave it up to the organizations. And right. of course, the community meals go year-round.
Yeah.
So we help them around Christmas time with their community meals.
But this is the perfect time to give. I think a lot of us, which although we should give throughout the year,
right.
I know we should. A lot of people don't. And then some people plan for this time of year,
yes.
maybe just in their budget for their end of year giving.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And so this would be a great opportunity to be able to give to the Rotary Turkey yeah. Roundup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I get checks from all over Butler County. I mean, from Cranberry and Carn City and West Sunbury. I mean, it's just amazing how people all maybe $25, $50, some even $100, you know. They
yeah.
realize that people are in need.
And it's nice that you're doing this here for Butler County, and you're getting checks from Butler County.
Yes.
And I say that because, of course, this 28 years, but yet we still see the city, Pittsburgh, still doing theirs. And that's great. I'm glad. You know,
yes.
they do. But my point to this is that if folks haven't given to this, this stays here in Butler County. So
right.
this is helping our county
yes.
with our neighbors.
Yes.
Right.
And there's no, I mean, it. We truly, Rick McDivitt, who owns Hagen Business Machines, prints everything that goes out. So Rotary, our club, pays mm-hmm. for the envelopes, the return envelopes, and the stamps. And then this year we used Life Steps. They, Rick gives us the letters already folded, so Life Steps got the mailer ready, put the stamps on the envelopes, which we provided, and then they were mailed out. So it's becoming a real project for a lot of people who need, like the kids at Life Steps. This is something they can do, and they're feeling helpful, too.
Right, right.
So,
if there's someone listening that would like to help in a way, maybe they don't have the finances, and mm-hmm. we understand some don't, and that's okay, but they still would like to be a part of this in some way. If they are not part of Life Steps or, you know, a certain organization, how can they go about helping the Rotary with the Rotary Turkey Roundup?
Mm.
Well, besides joining the Rotary.
Yeah.
you know, you can
go.
Just join the Rotary.
Well, my wife helps me with all the deposits because she's I'm like Millie and Dale. We've been married 57 years,
uh-huh.
and we do everything together, and she's we used to work at a bank, and then she works for the YWCA, and she helps me get all the deposits ready, and they all have to be added up just right because she does not. She said you don't make a mistake on the deposit. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
She
Who's
keeps,
the accountant?
She keeps me aligned.
Yeah, and I chuckle because my mom would be. She's not an accountant, but she does accounting. Thing.
Oh.
Okay, so that was her career, if you will. And she would find a penny.
Oh.
I'm like, she could go back six yes. months and find a penny. And I'm like, I'm off like 15 cents. I'm not finding it, you
no.
know. So that's great that she's
yes.
in that kind
yes,
of
she loves.
Lock and step with you.
Yes.
That's great stuff. All right.
So it, actually, yeah. physically, there really isn't. But, you know, we'll take a dollar. If
sure.
somebody feels that they really want to help, we'll take a dollar. And you don't even have to put it in a envelope, mail it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, because right now
Joe,
I probably have $125 at home in loose cash
mm-hmm.
that people just give me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
and it's going to be sent.
It's Good. All going to go to, into Turkey Roundup.
So, Millie, I know the address is in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like
sure.
to get that out for us so we know where to send it?
So, make your check out to the Butler Rotary Foundation and mail it to Rotary Turkey Roundup, P.O. Box 1081, Butler, PA 16003.
And we talked about how long that this has been in existence, 28 years. How much money have you raised over the time here?
Up until through last year, we raised $502,000, which is a little more than $500,000. And it's
That's
all
incredible.
Gone back to to Butler County, people who need help. It is incredible. And this isn't just our own project either, our only project.
Yes, Rotary is very busy. Talk about some of the things that are coming up here.
Well, we do a golf outing every August, and with that money, we have redone 3 playgrounds in the city. We've had help from, in-kind help from contractors and people in business who wanted to help, but we raised about $180,000 for Institute Hill.
Right.
And we raised, I think, about $150,000 for South Hills / Christie Avenue Playground.
Okay.
And we just finished Rotary Park, which is down on the island. And we've built a shelter there. And we enlarged the basketball court to regulation size. We put up a fence along the playground because the kids were playing and throwing balls into that busy street.
Yeah.
So we...
And the people down there have really taken good care of the park, down Rotary Park. I'm really tickled to pink that they're using it and they're getting good use out of it.
And they care. I mean, we already know that Butler County cares, but you can have places anywhere. It doesn't matter where you live, that they could fall into disrepair, and it doesn't seem like that's happening, which is great.
Right. All 3 playgrounds we have done have really been very nice, well taken care of. The neighbors kind of oversee to make sure there's no vandalism and stuff. They're really doing a great job, and makes you proud that you were able to do that for them.
Yeah. Have you gotten feedback about the work that the Rotary does?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You're riding horses and broncos, I guess.
Yeah.
You know. But the Rotary, what kind of feedback do you get, generally speaking? And then I'm going to ask specifically about the Turkey Roundup, but generally speaking.
I think people in Butler County are very giving and caring, and we're really happy that the people that we're helping, especially the kids at the playgrounds, are very appreciative. If we see people who know, like Dale with his jackets, they'll come up to him and tell him, thank you so much for all that you do. You know, another big project we have is the Pancake Festival on Election Day, which we just finished for Life Steps, and we've been doing that for 60 years.
Wow.
It's the Butler Rotary Club, which is the PM Club.
Right.
They've been doing that for 60 years.
Tell her about you paying for the people from Slippery Rock to oversee the playground when the kids get fed in the summertime.
In the summertime, we have interns who come through the YMCA, and they go up to Christie Avenue and do projects for the kids during the from 10 to 2. And they feed them lunch and have games. So
it's a great partnership.
Yes, it truly is.
It's the way it was years ago. They always had playground people there in the summertime, all summer. And it's nice it's coming back again because these kids need to get out and go to a playground, not watch so much TV and on their cell phones and stuff.
Yeah, it's a different world when you get
to
be outside a little bit. Then I'm going to ask the same question about the feedback with the Turkey Roundup, the Rotary Turkey Roundup. Do you get to hear the feedback? Because, again, you're collecting the money.
Yes.
And then the money, of course, going to the great organizations that will get the food out to the people.
We get the thank you letters specifically from the churches because it really comes in handy to have cash. But we really don't get a lot of letters from the people. But you know what? That isn't why we do it.
Yes, that's not the purpose. But
and we just really know that there's a need out there, and we're helping.
Right, we're taking care of it.
I always like to ask that question. I'm sorry, Joe, I'll get just a moment, because I always like to bring up that question with folks that are doing great jobs like you, because I think when people hear that, they think of a point in their life where they were helped, And sometimes when we reach out just to say, hey, thank you for doing what you did, it can make a difference and encourage a lot of the volunteers to say, yay, we're making a difference.
And we're hoping that's why people are stepping up and cleaning the creeks now, and the young kids are going and painting the curbs and doing things. Right. I think that there is a swing in that direction, and we'd like to think it's because of all the Rotary people and the Lions clubs and all the service organizations, who, by the way, we're all kind of suffering because we're getting to ages where we need young people. Our club is starting to get young people, and I know the AM club is too. So when Dale was the district governor of Rotary in 97-98, he started the AM club because there were young people who had kids playing games, soccer, football in the evening, because we meet at 5:30. So he started the AM club, and it's become, it's grown, and it's become a really giving club also in the community. So
I love talking. When the AM club was in a while ago now, I chuckled because I just said, okay, I know there's a big name behind the AM. What's the AM mean? She's like, morning. Okay. On we go.
That's it.
Just morning at AM, PM, simple enough. Joe, you wanted to mention something.
Well, no, is when I've probably been in Rotary 25 years or more, and when I joined Rotary Club, I have no idea what they did. And I'll tell you, it was the best 25 years I've ever put in, because I like to give back to people, you know?
Do you have a favorite project that has stuck out? Not that they aren't all fabulous.
Well,
it's just
we do highway
memorable.
Cleanup by Agway and stuff, and we get a nice turnout for that. And I love working with her husband on golf outing. He made me drive the golf cart this year and take the stuff around. And I said, Dale, you believe it or not, I said, this is the first time I've ever been on a golf cart, and
really?
The first time I was ever on a golf course.
And he's making you drive the golf cart.
Yeah. And he says, Joe, you could go a little bit faster if you want to.
That becomes my favorite part, is driving the golf cart.
Yeah, so
absolutely.
I said, Dale, I hope you know where you're going, because the tees all look the same, so I don't know where we're at.
It's just hitting the ball in a hole, right?
Yeah,
is that
right.
That just get it in one of the holes right there. That's funny. That is great. Yeah. All right, so this is the Rotary Turkey Roundup, 28 years of helping others have a better holiday. And Jim, you said, right? Jim did the flyers.
Rick,
I'm sorry, Rick. Rick, you did a great job at the
actually, Jim's the chairman of the Rotary Foundation.
Oh, the foundation.
Yeah, he keeps those books going and writes those checks.
He keeps
checks.
Us straight.
He's the one finding the penny.
Yes.
Is he the one finding the penny?
Yes.
Gotta love you, Jim. love you. All right, you know, we're going to take a small break.
Okay.
We'll come back here in just a moment and finish out with Millie and Joe here with the Rotary, Turkey Roundup. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey for the day with It's Your Turn.
Butler Health System is a top 100 hospital for getting Doug back to playing with his grandkids and managing his farm.
For ensuring that Craig made it to his daughter's college graduation.
For helping Ray travel to Europe to visit his family.
At Butler Health System, we know what it takes to provide nationally recognized care. But more importantly, we know why we have to.
Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
The days and weeks immediately following the loss of a loved one are so difficult, so personal. You think, does anybody really understand how I feel? I can't even understand it myself. I wish I could talk to someone about it. Well, you can. Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler offers a unique program called Someone's Caring. It's carefully and sensitively designed to help you ease the pain, to help you fill the gaps when you feel so alone. Men and women are invited to attend. Yes, men are beginning to realize it's okay to express their feelings in a small group setting. They're finding that it really helps. We offer four programs: a grief support group for those who have lost a loved one, for survivors of a suicide, for bereaved parents, and individual sessions. Our own trained bereavement specialist Robin S. Miller personally conducts the sessions. Call us at Thompson Miller, 724-287-3706, 287-3706. We can help. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Time for a checkup for your pet. We recommend Suburban Animal Clinic.
Or maybe Fido or Tabby's not feeling so well. Suburban Animal Clinic, a small animal veterinary practice located Route 8 south of Butler at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. It's about 5 miles south of Butler. Suburban Animal Clinic, in the spirit of Dr. Dennis Damon. Their services include wellness checks for your pet, of course. Also, emergency care. They have laser therapy, dental available. Also, prescription diets. You know, one of the things that are problems for a lot of our pets these days, being overweight. Microchipping, they can handle that as well. Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, south of Butler. If you're headed south from Butler toward Pittsburgh, as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships, start looking on your left. That's Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 South at Thorncrest Drive.
Welcome back. Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey today with It's Your Turn. Just a couple of minutes left, I know. Before we finish out our time here with the Rotary Turkey Roundup, I just want to remind you of a couple of things. One, thank you to everybody who signed up for the Frozen 2 premiere party. That'll be tonight. Anyone that won has already been notified. So that's kind of an exclusive premiere at this point. The other thing, though, is our sister station, the Rock Station 97.7, we're holding our 40th anniversary party tonight, American Legion 778 at in Lindora, of course. It's only $10 at the door, and that is going to benefit the Caring Angels program at the Butler Health System Foundation. So if you want to join us for that, that'll be tonight. Party starts at 7 o'clock. All right. So last couple of minutes with Millie and also Joe. Millie, I have to ask with Dale, because, of course, Dale Pinkerton, your husband, with the great outfits that he has and those great jackets, have you ever ventured into having such a style, or do you just have your own style? And
well, Tracy, I have to tell you, when he came to Butler and started getting those coats from Frank Chico, we went to a function and I had on orange and he had on pink. And somebody came up to me and said, you know, when I look at you two together, I kind of like want to gag. So from that day forward, I put Dale's clothes out and I match my clothes to his, so we coordinate.
I love it. You got to be on that color wheel, you know, yes. Complimentary color wheel. Yes. That's great. That's a great story. I love that.
But only Dale could wear them clothes and get away with it.
I know. I know. Another, I can't remember where he was walking, and I saw him way across the street, yep. And I knew, there's Dale. So that's fabulous.
He's a great guy, and he's recovering right now. He's doing really well. So I know a lot of people in Butler County are praying for him. And
yes.
It's going to be good.
Well wishes to you, Dale. I know you're listening. Your wife said you were listening. So our thoughts are with you right now. Joe, I just want to get your final thoughts before we do close out. Only have a couple minutes left. And Millie, the same for you. But why don't we start with you, Joe?
Well, I just want to thank everybody and appreciate everybody sending us money for this turkey roundup because, like you said, it's all going to a very good cause. And it helps feed a lot of people.
Absolutely. And again, that address is the Butler Rotary Foundation. That's what you'd make your check out to, right, Millie?
Butler Rotary Foundation.
Okay. And then the address you'd want is Rotary Turkey Roundup, P.O. Box 1081 in Butler, and that's 16003-1081. Millie, your final thoughts on the roundup?
Well, I just want to say that Dale and I are not Butlerites. We came here 39 years ago, but we are so happy we came here because the people in Butler County are so giving and so caring. I don't think this would happen in another community the way it has and for so long. So thank you all who help us, businesses and individuals. And we do thank you from the bottom of our hearts for helping Rotary do this good thing for service above self. And one last thing, Tracy, mm-hmm. I have to tell you that I've never done this with anyone but Dave, but you're great.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you. I appreciate the compliment. You're very kind.
Me too.
Joe, this is the first time you've been in, so yes. I'm glad. And I would say, Millie, you and Dale are Butlerites. If you can sit and say that we are Butlerites,
right.
Because people outside of Butler look at me when I say a Butlerite, and they're like, what? What are you talking about?
Wasn't raised here, but right. But I've been transplanted here, and I'm here.
So you are using that word. You are officially, I believe, Butlerite. Welcome. welcome after all these years, right? Hey, Joe, thanks so much for coming in, Millie.
Thank you very much for having us.
We missed you, but thank you so much for what you do. Rotary Turkey Roundup again. It's the Rotary Turkey Roundup, P.O. Box 1081, Butler, PA 16003-1081. Make that check out to the Butler Rotary Foundation. All right. We are out of time. Thank you for having me in for all of these days while Dave has been off. Dave will be back on Monday with you, so we'll talk to you on Monday, yeah, with the news. Thank you, Pat, for all you do as well. Have a great weekend. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey with It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did.